Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprises new topics every single weekend, jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we have a fantastic episode ahead, full of UFC fun galore, as UFC Vegas 111 went down this past weekend. And for the second straight week, I did like live watch a UFC event. You know, I was out with a bunch of my work buddies, who now are just kind of my buddy buddies. So that's been super fun. And, you know, I'm working these long hours now at work. I work 8 to 5 on Saturdays, 8:30 to 6:30 now, Monday through Friday. So we are super busy. So we will have no NFL talk. No, to be honest, nothing much has gone on in the NFL, and doing it every week just kind of drags out the episodes. And this week, lots going on in the UFC verse. So what I will do is probably drop my predictions, my little NFL quick picks that I usually do. But in terms of a recap, look, nothing much happened. Okay, we could go in depth, but the season is only halfway through, still some time. But on today's episode, we will be recapping UFC Vegas 111, talking about what is next for a bunch of the fighters, and I even have a couple new UFC fights to bring to your guys' attention. The end of the year is winding down, so we really don't have many new fights to discuss, but we have three new ones that have been announced in the last few days, and after UFC Vegas 111, some interesting things have taken place. So, without further ado, let's get right on into things with your three new UFC fights, probably one of the last three we have for the end of the year, and this one's exciting, guys. UFC Vegas 113, going down December 12th, which I actually believe is UFC Vegas 112. I think that's what they actually meant to say. Yeah, that's what they actually meant to say, but going down December 13th at the UFC Apex, Morgan Cherie is back. Morgan Cherie suffered a tough defeat to Nathaniel Wood last time out, but Nathaniel Wood is super talented, so not too bad of a loss. He'll be taking on Melquizel Costa, who is already 3-0 in 2020. Five Fields wins over Andre Fili, Christian Rodriguez, and Julian Arosa. He's going for a 4-0 year. I love to see it. This is a interesting matchup. Very much so. Morgan Cherie on the feet, Melquizel Costa on the ground. Who will win? I don't know. Right now, probably leading Melquizel Costa. I might ride with him until he finally loses. Morgan Cherie has a terrible habit of just losing decisions. I mean, he has 11 losses in his career, 21, 11-1 professionally. And I think he's only ever been finished twice. It's either two times or three times. So, decision machine, always losing them. So, we'll have to see if he can win one. But Melquizel Costa, he's had a good year. Kind of fought three times super early and hasn't done much for the most of the year. But he's going to sneak in a fight on that final card of 2025. The final ESPN event for the foreseeable future. Also going down on that UFC Vegas 112 card, heavyweight action, the premier division in the UFC, right? Absolutely not. Kenny Inchukwu is back following his defeat to none other than Walter Walker. He'll be taking on another submission man in Marcus Buchecha. Marcus Buchecha had one of the most boring debuts I've seen against Martin Boudet, and you know what? They're giving him one more shot, so we'll see how he does. If anything, Kennedy's either knocking out Marcus or Marcus is landing a sloppy takedown and submitting Kenny Inchukwu. We'll have to see what happens, but the heavyweight division is just probably at the worst it's ever been. And right now, if the women's bantamweight division wasn't just the women's bantamweight division, it would probably be the worst division in the UFC. But hey, maybe a new heavyweight contender will be born in this matchup. And lastly, the last matchup we've had announced, this one for UFC 322, Vyacheslav Borshev is back. That is right, he's finally getting another fight in this year as he takes on Matheus Camilo. Matheus Camilo lost his UFC debut. Vyacheslav Borshev has been on an atrocious streak, if I'm being honest. I can't even remember the last time he lost, but he lost. He's always losing. It's just a recurring thing in the life of Vyacheslav Borshev. Actually, did Terrence McKinney beat him? I think that might have been the last fight. I don't know, but yeah, this one will be on the prelims of UFC Madison Square Garden. It's whatever. It really is whatever. We're waiting for all the big fights to go down. That's what we're aiming for and looking for. And you know what? After this event, the rest of the year kind of gets pretty good. It really does. UFC 322, UFC Baku, UFC 323. It gets good, but we're kind of just in this boring patch here. And that's what we're going through right now. And safe to say, that is just the case when it comes to UFC Vegas 111. Because, you know, it was kind of an average card. That's what I'll say. And I'll talk about it here But there was some goodness. There was some goodness on this card, and you know, part of that goodness is when there's a lot of finishes, and the entire main card was all finishes, and we opened the card with three of the first four fights being finishes, so we can't complain about that. We opened the card, short notice matchup, Zachary Reese taking on Jackson McVay. The third opponent for Jackson McVay was supposed to be Robert Valentine. Robert pulls out. Supposed to be Dante Johnson. Dante Johnson wasn't cleared by the doctors. In steps Zach Reese, who was looking to bounce back from his disastrous fight at UFC Noche, where it was a no contest. And what happens here? Well, Jackson McVay pieces him up in round number one. 53 significant strikes to 31. He lands a takedown, and it's pretty much reversed, and Jackson McVay controls the entire first round. Domination from McVay, looking to bounce back from his first fight earlier in July when he lost to Bruno Ferreira. And what happens in round two? Well, Jackson McVay lands for a takedown, and some about this fight, and if you land a takedown, it doesn't work in your favor, as Jackson McVay's takedown is reversed, and Zachary Reese ends up in position to lock up a rear naked choke and submits him. Excellent work to Zachary Reese. Really proud of him. I really am. I gotta give it to him. I was riding with whoever was gonna fight Jackson McVay. I just don't think Jackson McVay is UFC caliber. He's now been submitted in his two fights in 2025. I don't really see a case to bring him back. Middleweight fight, he can, I don't know, maybe take on Marco Tullio. We're going to bring him up in a bit. But yeah, great win for Zachary Reese. First win since May. You know, he ends the year 2-1 with a no contest. Not too bad. And there's a lot of fights to be had in the middleweight division. The middleweight division is just deep as it ever gets. I'll tell you that. There's always going to be options all the way around. And it's tough to say. He's not going to fight a high-level guy. I'll say that. I know Abus Magomedov recently lost in October to Joe Pfeiffer. I feel like Abus and Zach Reese would actually do a pretty good fight. Or I even could see Michelle Pereira. Maybe Michelle Pereira runs it with Zach Reese. Maybe the loser of Gerald Meerschaert and what was the Gerald Meerschaert and Kyle Daukaus. So lots of options there. We'll have to see what they elect to go with. But yeah, good way to open the card, and it was a performance bonus for none other than Zach Reese. We share the first name, so you know I have to root for him every time he fights. Following that, we had another round two rear naked choke from Daniel Marcos over Miles Johns. If you're a betting man, this would have cashed a lot of money, as Daniel Marcos had never gotten a career submission. He had come into this contest 17-1 with 8 wins by knockout, and lo and behold, he turned up the takedowns in this one to a different degree. Round one, you know, Miles Johns pretty much just landed like a couple good punches, and Marcos was like, I'm going to grapple. Round two, he was like, I'm finding success with the grappling. Landed 2 takedowns, got controlled over half of the 4 minutes and 23 seconds that the round two lasted, and got Miles Johns out of there. So impressive work for Daniel Marcos. He had lost his first ever professional bout to Montel Jackson, which isn't that bad of a loss to have, back in May, and he bounced back in big fashion. So good work, Daniel Marcos. I like what I see from you, and I think he should be matchmaked with one of two guys next. And honestly, I'm just throwing this name in there for any of them to face Cody Garbrandt or Ricky Simon. Those should be the next options for Daniel Marcos. Daniel Marcos is 32 years old, so he's getting kind of up there. You know, for bantamweight, we really like that kind of 25 to 30 range in terms of rising up the ranks. But hey, never too late for Daniel Marcos. Good work in this one, getting a rear naked chokehold. We love the finishes on the Apex cards. As for Miles Johns, I don't know what to say. You know, he's not bad. That's the thing. He actually fights pretty good, but didn't really look his best here. All right, this is also his third straight loss. Hasn't won since June 2024. So tough to say what we're going to do with him. He's gone pretty average in the UFC. He's gone 6-5 with a no contest. So not too good after coming in 9-0. I don't really know if they should keep him or not. I'm sure there's always kind of, it's pretty similar to Jackson McVay, who we just talked about. You could cut him, you could keep him, it doesn't really matter. I think if anything for Miles Johns, he'll be fighting someone coming off of this recent season of the Contender Series, maybe one of the more high-level bantamweights we got, so keep your eyes peeled for that. But yeah, great win for Daniel Marcos, coming in with this win here. Happy to see it. Excellent work. Next up, women's strawweight division. Thank goodness Tisha Pennington finally lost. I'm so sorry, I hate to be a Tisha Pennington hater, but she's so boring, and she even makes Denise Gomez, who gets finishes, look boring in this one. Because, I mean, wow. Just wow. Denise Gomez wins this one, 30-27s across the board, every round going to her. She was outstruck significantly, 53-58, but after going 3 of 10 on takedowns for almost 4 minutes of control time, it sold to judges. Round 1, Denise outstruck her. Round 2, Tisha outstruck her. Round 3, you saw Denise go for the takedowns, 3.5 minutes of control time. Excellent work for Denise Gomez. She will probably move from number 15 to number 13 in the women's strawweight division. And as for Tisha Payton, there's not much left for her to do. There really isn't. For Denise Gomez, though, fourth straight win. She's sitting at a pretty decent 6-2 record in the UFC and is so far hasn't lost a fight since 2023. So 2-0 in 2024, 2-0 in 2025. Denise Gomez climbing the ranks. I'd maybe like to see her take on maybe the loser of Amanda Lemos and Jillian Robertson or Jessica Andrade. Well, those are two options that I think is next for Denise Gomez. As for Tisha Payton, I mean, look, Tisha's 36. You know, Denise is 25. Denise is in her prime. Tisha, she's had her time in the UFC, all right? And she has had a very, very boring career so far in the UFC. She has had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 19 fights in the UFC. So maybe they'll keep her around for lucky number 20. She's gotten one finish. In that entire span, she has also only ever not been the distance in that one fight. And that was against someone named Juliana Lima in July of 2017. Tisha, I know that your wife Raquel is a former women's bantamweight champion. Raquel was actually pretty good, but Tisha just never cut out for it. So if anything, I say we feed Tisha to Alexa Thanera, who's currently ranked at number 14. If not, similar to the other two that lost before her, we can cut her. But yeah, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Denise Gomez here. Very impressive, improves to 12-3, and women's strawweight division, we need contenders, and we have one here in Denise Gomez. Next up, the heavyweight division somehow, I have no idea, has some hope, and that hope is in none other than the loudmouth talking Josh Hokit, who runs through Max Jimenez. I said coming in, I don't know a single thing about Max Jimenez. I can't pick him under not knowing a single thing, but for Josh Hokit, I saw him on the Contender Series, he looked all right. In this contest, Josh Hokit ran through Max Jimenez. I mean, holy cow. There's a reason he came in as a minus 400 favorite, and he now improves to a very stellar 7-0, all of his wins coming by finish, and I think that's his fourth KO of the seven finishes. So, Hokit, performance bonus, 56-second knockout. Here's a heavyweight you got to watch out for. Here's a guy that's going to be a problem now. What does he want next? Number 14th ranked Walter Walker. That's right up Walter's alley. But I'm going to be honest. If I'm the UFC, I kind of want to keep these guys separate. The last thing I want is two actual prospects to go at it with each other. So Josh Hokit, I think he should face the winner of Marcus Buchecka and Kay Nchuku. That's what I want next for Josh Hokit. But under the, you know, somewhat chance that they end up making Walter Walker Josh Hokit, the fans win in that one, and that one should be exciting. But great win for Josh here. After winning on the Contender Series in August, he was calling for a fight as soon as possible. They were able to get him on an Apex card, and he doesn't disappoint. And he earns a little 50K performance bonus. As for Max Jimenez, I just don't even know. He's 6-2. He's 32 years old. I don't even know. He could even fight the winner of Kenny Chukwu and Marcus Prochechka. But heavyweight division is so dead. If anything, I think him versus Ruslan Kudiev. Remember that guy that randomly fought Curtis Blaydes when he was ranked number 5 in the world and now hasn't had any news since? Yeah, that guy, Ruslan Kudiev. Yeah, Ruslan versus Max Jimenez, if anything. Heavyweight division, all I can do is pray for you. But Josh Hokit, somehow, you're very entertaining. Next up, ranked women's bantamweight action, and we started off the card so red out. 5-0 up predictions as Jacqueline Cavalcante knocks off the number 10 ranked Mayra Bueno Silva. Jacqueline will move from 11 to 10. I could even see them bumping her up to number 9 or 8, but I mean, every single round, going to Jacqueline Cavalcante, outstrikes her 80-39, defends all 4 takedowns from Mayra Bueno Silva. It does not get much better than that. But yeah, 21 significant strikes to 9 in round 1, 23-16 in round 2, and 36-14 in round 3. The fall off of Mayra Bueno Silva has been very, very bad. But for Jacqueline Cavalcante, 10-1, 5-0 in the UFC. Her winning streak overall, I believe, is at 8 now. So she's getting a big fight. She really is. Women's bantamweight division, we need contenders. We really only have like 3 or 4 in the top 10. So what's next for Jacqueline? The number 9 ranked Carol Rosa, the number 7th ranked Macy Chison, which I really like, or even the number 6 ranked Irene Aldana. But yeah, really like her from Portugal. Looked impressive and only 28 years old. There's a lot of time for her to get even better. For Mayra Bunal Silva, this has to be the nail in the coffin. She hasn't won a fight technically since February 2023. Her win over Holly Holmes in July 2023 was overturned. She has been finished in June of 2024. But I mean, yeah, 4-fight losing streak, 5-fight winless streak. Mayra Bunal Silva really has nothing going for her. 10-6-1 in the UFC with a no contest. Yeah, I'm happy to throw her on the counter out of everyone we've talked about. I think she's even probably ahead of Jackson McVeigh, in my opinion, because I think they really do want to give Jackson McVeigh a shot. But Mayra Bunal Silva, MBS, you got to go. If anything, I mean, I don't know if she fights Jocelyn Edwards. Like, I generally don't even know. But Cavalcante, great prospect here. Love what I've seen from her. Impressive work. Now, first fight we predicted wrong here. This one, not too mad about. Not too mad about because, I mean, Ronny Barcelos and Ricky Simon was close. I had liked a bit more what I'd seen from Ricky Simon, but hey, Ronny Barcelos at the ripe age of 38 is a contender in the bantamweight division. Underdog cashing, love to see it. And round one went to Ricky. Ricky outstruck him 24-16, defended 2 of his 3 takedowns, was only controlled for 9 seconds. Ricky Simon wins round one. Round two, though, Ronny dials it up. 32 significant strikes to 16, doubling the output. And neither man landed a takedown, but Ryoni looked more impressive. Round three, it's a toss-up. It really was. Ryoni went 0-3 on takedowns. Ricky went 0-1, 34 significant strikes to 27. It was up in the air, but they gave it to Ryoni Barcelos. I went back. I watched it, and it was close, but I think I was biased, you know, for Ricky Simon. It could have gone either way. I would have liked if they would have given Ricky the nod, but hey, it's just how it goes. So Ryoni Barcelos, that'll make it 4 straight. That'll make him 3-0 in 2025. And with wins over Peyton Talbot, Cody Garbrandt, and Ricky Simon, I don't really think you can deny him getting a ranked shot. You know, there's number 15th ranked Marcus McGee sitting there. There's number 14th ranked Kyler Phillips. And my personal favorite here, the number 12 ranked Rob Font. I don't think you can deny Ronny Barcelos. At 38 years old, at least give him a shot. You know, how about we rematch him and Kyler Phillips? They fought in August of 2023. Other than that, his other loss was Umar Nurmagomedov in 2023. So, Ronny, 4-fight winning streak. His last 3 wins of the year have been incredible. And good stuff all around in this one. For Ricky, I mean, just lost a close fight. You know, 22-7. Ricky Simon was somehow 33 years old. Like, this guy's been fighting with the UFC since 2018. I don't really know what to do next with him. As I was mentioning, I do like matchmaking on the same card. And I feel like Daniel Marcos, who's just bouncing back from his first ever career loss, taking on a guy in Ricky Simon, you know, that's the high-level action I like to see. So if I can matchmake, I always love matchmaking on the same card. You can kind of see the skill levels. Ricky Simon, Daniel Marcos, let's make that. And as for Ronny Barcelos, give him someone in the bottom 15. Oh, the ranked division. You know, I think you need to. He's earned it. Give Ryoni a shot. God bless him. God bless his soul. Next up, featherweight division. This one I can't believe. Jamal Emmers defeats Haider Amil. Remember when Haider Amil was a contender? Yeah. Remember when he beat William Gomez? Yeah. That must have been a fever dream. Starting this out, Haider's killing him on the feet. 33 significant strikes at 28. Then Jamal's mixing some takedowns. Goes 2-for-2. You're kind of like, okay, those were pretty easy. Round two, all right. Hyder's looking good on the feet. And then Jamal's like, why don't I just grapple this guy? 3-for-4 on takedowns. 3 minutes, 20 seconds. Round three, Hyder's getting gassed out. Jamal's like, I should just keep grappling him. 4 minutes and 50 seconds of control time. You get one submission attempt from Jamal Emmers. Very boring, dull fight. And lo and behold, in the year 2025, Jamal Emmers has picked up a win. Can't even believe it. Can't even believe it. And want to know what makes Maris crazier? He's on a 2-fight winning streak. He had one earlier in March. I'm honestly very perplexed. I really am. But yeah, if you had Jamal Emmers winning, you know, this was a toss-up. But I just didn't see it coming. I really didn't. And at 36 years old, gosh, good for him. For Haider Amil, this is now 2 straight losses in 2025. And after beating William Gomez, it's starting to look like that William Gomez fight was a terrible decision. That's all I'm saying. So for Haider Amil, I mean, he can fight freaking, I don't even know who he can fight. I thought he was better than he was. Who can we matchmake him with? Let's see. What's Nate Landwehr up to? Yeah, Nate Landwehr versus Haider Amil. That's the next fight I want to see. Now, as for, you know, this guy here, you know, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do here for our boy Jamal Emmers. Two win streaks in 2025. He had a big knockout of Gabriel Miranda earlier in March, but his skill level just isn't the highest. It really isn't. So he can fight someone unranked as well in the featherweight division, maybe someone a tinge higher, maybe a good bounce back fight for Jose Delgado. Jose Delgado did just lose a very great fight to Nathaniel Wood. I think it was 2 weeks ago. So I say we can just run that. Good bounce back fight for Jose Delgado and Jamal Emmers, 2-fight win streak. He's earned himself a decent name to fight on his record. So that's what we can do there. But yeah, 7 takedowns for Jamal Emmers, 8 minutes of control time. Kind of boring. Next up, one of the wildest knockouts I've seen, middleweight division. Marco Tullio, I knew there was room for error, you know, with the lower level of competition he had been fighting compared to Christian Leroy Duncan, but Christian came to bring it here, knocks out Marco Tullio in just dominant fashion in this one. So, round one, a lot of clinching. 2.5 minutes from Marco, 1 minute from CLD, a takedown for CLD, 2 takedowns for Marco, only 8 significant strikes each. Very boring. Round two, Marco tries to do a little takedown, and CLD's like, no. They're swinging, and then Christian catches Marco. He gets a little wobbled, and then he hits him again, and he literally, like, EA Sports UFC 5 slumps to the floor and a nasty follow-up. I mean, Mark Smith should have stepped in right when he saw Marco Tullio go down, which I can kind of see the angle. Kind of looked like he was just kind of going into, like, a crouching position, but just levels him in the face, and Tullio knocked out cold, ending Marco Tullio's impressive 10-fight winning streak. And this is Christian Leroy Duncan, second straight win by knockout, third straight win in 2025. His last loss, Gregory Rodriguez. I mean, yeah, he's on a tear, and I'm really excited to see what is next for Christian Leroy Duncan. Middleweight division, I don't know how high to put him, you know, for his next fight. I mean, I could go rankings, but Joe Pyfer's at 15. Marvin Vettori's at 14, Costa's at 13. If anything, I could maybe see Roman Dolidze at number 12, but I'm looking more so at Ashara Magomedov. I feel like that would be a fun fight. I really do. Maybe even loser of Vettori and Bruno Ferro, you know, or even Bruno Ferro win or loss, but impressive win by Christian Leroy Duncan. He's getting better. He really is, and he gets his 10th career knockout, 11th career finish, improving to 13-2. That's how you do it, Christian Leroy Duncan. For Marco, he only falls a 14-2, and all of his fights have ended by knockout. And unfortunately, in this time, he was the one getting knocked out. So, middleweight division, I wouldn't be too worried. There's lots of middleweights out there. There really is. You have basically a run-of-the-mill of middleweights in this company. And you know what? They could always have him fight Eric Anders. They could always have him fight Marc-Andre Barriot, Shara Magomedov, like I said, or even like Michael Okojasek. Like, there's tons of options out there for Marco Tullio. I think they'll give him a fun fight, especially knowing that he's a power puncher, but he just got a bit too relaxed here with all the grappling and clinching, and CLD just needed one shot, boom, puts his lights out, impressive work, and added a little $50,000 bonus to that. Next up, did not see this one coming either, Chris Padilla beats Ishmael Bonfim. Ishmael Bonfim, wow, the fall off has been drastic. And little did I know, he missed weight by 5 pounds. That is a big no-no. Very big no-no, Ishmael Bonfim. And round one, you know, he landed a takedown, and immediately it's just Chris has him in the clinch. Chris is working him and, you know, outstrikes him 17-14. We get to round two. Ishmael's trying to keep up with the pace, but Chris is just keeping it on him and didn't even land a knockdown, but basically, like, failed a takedown and was just laying on the ground, like, hunched up, and Chris is just leveling into him, and Chris Tony was like, you know what, I've seen enough, call this fight, and Chris Padilla gets another win, calling for a performance bonus, but I don't know, it just wasn't the most impressive thing. Somehow, this guy's 4-0 in the UFC, 17-6, and somehow, no idea how Chris Padilla keeps getting away with this, gets his 7th straight win. 9th straight knockout. I mean, he's actually good. He's actually decent. And it's kind of funny because, like, he wasn't getting a performance bonus. But, hey, you looked impressive. I'll give you that, kid. So, Chris Padilla getting it done. Impressive work. I don't know what to do with this guy. I'm going to be honest. You know, there's options out there. I know Terrence McKinney and Chris Duncan have a fight coming up. I would like the winner of that. Chris Duncan, Terrence McKinney, they're fighting at UFC 323. I would love winner of that to throw down with Chris Padilla, because I kind of got to give him his props. But, you know, he didn't necessarily do anything impressive, but I can't deny him. 4-0 in the UFC, big winning streak now, getting it done, good work. Ishmael Bonfim, second straight loss. He's now 2-3 in the UFC. I don't know what to do with him. I really don't. He hasn't looked impressive since his debut, also, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. So, if anything, Jai Herbert versus Ishmael Bonfim. That's the next fight to make. Jai Herbert, Ishmael Bonfim. Why? I don't know. If anything, let's move him up to welterweight, because clearly the dude cannot make lightweight, and it's proving to be issues, especially when you miss by 5 pounds, forfeiting 30% of your purse. So, yeah. Bad work by Ishmael Bonfim. Thought he would win on the same card as his brother who's in the freaking main event, but lo and behold, he does not. But hey, good work, Chris Padilla. I gotta give you your respect, gotta give you your props, and yeah, let's get him a decent fight up next against someone. Who did I suggest Chris Padilla to fight? I can't even remember. That's how irrelevant he kind of is. Moving into our third to last fight of the evening, we had Uros Medic knocking out Muslim Sleekov. I can never predict a Muslim Sleekov fight. I really can't here, and weirdly enough, guys, Uros Medic has now had 2 knockouts in 2025, both of them in 1 minute and 3 seconds. Very weird. Very weird. Simple as this is, these two are simply just going at it. Uros Medic lands a clean straight. Down goes Muslim Salikov. 1 or 2 follow-up punches. That's it. Uros Medic, the doctor, diagnosing our boy here, Muslim Salikov, with a case of getting knocked out. And Uros Medic, lo and behold, has now never been the distance yet again. 12-3, 12 straight finish, 10 straight knockout, and this one was more impressive ones yet. After starting out the year with a 31 second knockout loss, he's now bounced back with a win in August and November, both of them coming by round one knockout. Very good work, Uros. Very impressive work, and welterweight division. Happy to have him, really is. For Muslim Salikov, I mean, let's not act like Muslim isn't 41 years old. You know, he did just beat Carlos Leal. He was on a nice little knockout streak himself. So I think Carlos Leal versus Uros Medic is kind of a fight I want to see next. I can't even lie. I don't know. You can even feed him to Renat Fakhretdinov. You know, there's a lot you can kind of like do with Uros Medic here. But he's an exciting guy. He really is. For Muslim, dude's 41. You know, his record's 22-6. Maybe he's trying to get to that 30 piece. So we keep giving him opportunities. Welterweight division, though, it's incredibly deep. It really is. And I'm trying to think of someone he could potentially fight. Who's like a guy? There's a guy like Randy Brown. He's not Randy Brown, though. He has a lot more decision losses. He just fought. Oh, my goodness. That's who I want Muslim Salikov to fight next. I'm trying to think of his name. He is literally like the same fighter as Randy Brown, but he's not Randy Brown. And it is troubling me so hard I cannot think of his name. I think he's fought in Neil Magny before. Oh, this one's hurting, boys. This one's hurting. I know my knowledge. I know I can think of this. I know I can find it. Oh, man. Stay with me. Stay with me here as I take you through this journey of determining what fighter I'm thinking about. I know it will come to my mind as I continue on. But yeah, Muslim Salikov, Carlos, Muslim Salikov and Uros Medic, you know, not much to say. It lasted 1 minute and 3 seconds. There's nothing to analyze when a fight goes 1 minute and 3 seconds. So all we can do is move along, keep it pushing, and the guy I was thinking of was Phil Rowe. Bang! I knew I would think of his name. So, yeah. Decent work here for Uros Medic. I mean, when you get around one knockout, it is very, very good. So, impressive work there, and he will move up in the welterweight division slowly and steadily. And speaking of moving up, flyweight division, you actually have a good winner of the Ultimate Fighter. Joseph Morales has given Matt Danger Chanel in his UFC kind of official debut. I would never really consider the Ultimate Fighter as your actual debut. And do you want to know how simple this fight is? Matt Chanel lands a takedown about 1 minute and 12 seconds in. He's probably laying about 30 seconds in, and Joseph Morales immediately reverses it, takes his back, and then is able to lock in a guillotine choke. Simple as that. Joseph Morales, in a co-main event opportunity, 31 years old, gets his 8th career submission, 10th career finish, and impressive work here. Really is. A little 2-0 run in 2025 for the guy. Can't even hate him. 7 straight wins. Love it. Really do love it. And especially if you won the Ultimate Fighter, you got to be good. Like, realistically, you have to think. You have won the Ultimate Fighter. You are, theoretically, the Ultimate Fighter. So what I'm thinking is we got to give him a shot. We do. And number 15th ranked Rafael Estevam has been pulling out some fights. We also got the 13th ranked Charles Johnson. He's always a fun option. I don't know. The flyweight division, he might need one more pick-me-up. You know, and Joseph Morales might actually need one more pick-me-up. And who could we give him? Who's a good unranked flyweight to kind of just test you for hopping in the rankings? Oh my gosh. There's got to be someone here. Who has Matt Schnell been fighting recently? Anyone notable? Sumadarji is on a little 2-fight win streak. All right, Sumadarji versus Joseph Morales. Winner can get a ranked opportunity. That's what we'll do there. In the meantime, unless we can kind of sort things out at flyweight. Now, as for Matt Schnell, this man is 1-4 in his last 5. He has been finished in every single one of his fights, dating all the way back to the lovely year of pre-UFC. So, like 2015. So, yeah, Matt Schnell, I don't know, brother. I don't know. 35 years old. There's not much left for him to do in the UFC. He basically retired earlier in the year, I thought, and then kind of came out of retirement and didn't work out for him. Getting submitted in 2 minutes and 54 seconds. But yeah, great work for Joseph Morales, Ultimate Fighter winner, on the verge of the rankings, and he improves to 15-2. Excellent work. With that, we dove into our miraculous Arches groundbreaking main event, and apparently there was some controversy here between the stoppage of Gabriel Bonfim and Randy Brown. Now, I just want to take you through the fight. This fight was literally just Randy Brown and Gabriel Bonfim kind of just striking kind of regularly back and forth with each other. Round one, Gabriel Bonfim had a 5-punch edge. I mean, his shots were kind of landing a bit better, but, you know, not even that much. Maybe it's just because you knew he was going to win when I was watching it. And going back and forth, we head into round two. They're going back and forth. Gabriel Bonfim throws a high knee. Randy Brown leans in, gets hit with it, and literally falls in like a knockout motion. Gabriel Bonfim slips on his knee because he was throwing it kind of going backwards. And then as he goes to land a follow-up punch, ref steps in. I thought it was a good stoppage by Mark Smith. People were saying it was a premature stoppage, but you have to watch it back. You really do. Like, if you see his face when he gets hit with a knee, he's knocked out midair. What woke up Randy Brown, and he wasn't even fully awake, was him hitting the canvas. Okay, so I want you to know this was an excellent knockout by Gabriel Bonfim. And you want to know the best part? I predicted a round one knockout. Okay, it was round one knockout, but I predicted a knockout win. Okay, I said Gabriel Bonfim would knock out Randy Brown, and I was correct. Yes. Yes, I love being right. This is his 4th straight win. He's 19-1. He was recently ranked at number 14. And honestly, I want to bump him up to 12. I really do. I think Gabriel Bonfim should get some big opportunities. He called out Colby Covington. It makes sense. It really does. I mean, the Colby Covington fight makes so much sense. And I think it's as simple as Colby Covington can fight Gabriel Bonfim or he can just retire. All right. And Colby Covington just continues to tarnish his legacy, which was decent. It was already tainted kind of, but it was a decent legacy. And now, it's just kind of brutal. It really kind of is. But yeah, for a guy who only gets submissions, Gabriel Bonfim getting it done. Only his 4th career knockout. Out of his 19 wins, only his 4th career knockout. Very good work. And for Randy Brown, I mean, yeah. 7th loss, 5th time he's been finished. You know, kind of unfortunate. But to be fair, the last guy to finish him, Jack Del Maddaleta. So clearly he's only losing to top-level guys. Randy Brown, honestly, let's just matchmake your old match with Randy Brown. Why? Because it's fun. And they're on the same card. But yeah, Gabriel Bonfim, excited to see what's next for him. I think his ceiling still right now is at 10. You know, Colby Covington's ranked at 10. Gilbert Burns 11. Jeff Neal 12. Dan Rodriguez 13. I'd say out of them, I could probably see him winning over each of them. But once we're getting into the top 10, it's Carlos Fuentes, Michael Morales, Joaquin Buckley, Ian Garry. So the competition does get better. But yeah, good work for Gabriel Bonfim, ending the night with a nice little knockout, and I predicted it, so I was very happy. I went 7-5 on my picks, and I'm a little perplexed at what my yearly standings are, because sometimes I update them right away, and sometimes I don't. So I may update them. I may have to do some math at the end of the year, but I'm either 301 and 163, or I'm 308 and 163. Honestly, I think I'm 308 and 168 now that I'm really thinking about it. But it's crazy how many fights we've had this year. So with that, that's all I got today. Pretty short, run-of-the-mill episode, straight to the point. New UFC fights and a recap of a card. But guys, it's already 8:30 at night, and I literally have to be up at 5 in the morning. So my life is pretty hectic, but fear not, because I will be back later in the week dropping your UFC 322 predictions. And you know what? We're going to have a super fun time. We really are. Making money. I'm with my friends. I'm working in the big city. It's how it goes. But overall, UFC Vegas 111, very average, very mediocre. Wasn't the worst card of the year. Was nowhere near close to the best. But as far as Apex cards go, pretty standard. Pretty run-of-the-mill. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will send you all on your way. You can listen to this on your car ride to work, on your car ride home, or just whenever you're feeling lucky. And as always, you know that the next time I'll see you is on the Surprise Jab Podcast.